go to Proverbs 1. And we've been teaching on wisdom. We've been talking about a number of things. Really, the last few weeks, we've been centering on truths related to listening and paying attention. You know, when you look at the book of Proverbs, there's wisdom in there about life and relationships with other people, and we'll get to that. Someone said, you know, I wanted to learn how to handle my finances, or wisdom how to handle people. What you need to realize is the book of Proverbs starts where we need to start, and that is wisdom in our walk with God. It introduces it. You're never going to have wisdom in your finances, or wisdom in conduct with other people, or wisdom in the way you speak until we get this part right first. So the whole way of Proverbs leads in is that, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And then the wise man will listen to who or to what? To my words, not my words, but his words when he says my words. And then last week we talked about the path. You know that God has a path for each one of us, not just for people in ministry. Years ago, people just thought, well, it's the people who go into ministry that follow the plan of God. The rest of us can just do whatever we want and just come to church. We need to realize that's not how it works. When you are part of the body of Christ, every single one of us needs to be walking the path that he has for us. It doesn't necessarily mean every one of us will preach or teach or go into the mission field or go into ministry, but every one of us needs to pay attention to his path. Amen. Now, we've talked a lot in the last few weeks about the ability to get off track, the ability to get off the path, and the need to pay attention and listen to the decisions in order to stay on the path. Now, I'm going to look at something today that's also related to that, and I've talked a bit about it in the last few weeks. We have said some things, but I want to zero in on it. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 20. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20, some of these verses are probably becoming familiar because we're repeating them. You know, I could race through different principles in Proverbs. We could spend a week on this, another week on that, another week on that, and race through it and cover a lot of different principles. But I really, the way I'm approaching this, we're just camping and maybe just adding a little bit more each time. Little bit more, adding on top. And we might do it a different way as we go through this, but this is the way that I felt it's right to do. Proverbs 1 verse 20 says, wisdom calls aloud outside. Now, I've mentioned that before, haven't I? Is wisdom available? Wisdom's crying out outside. It's available, right? She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses at the openings of the gates of the city. That sounds like really publicly available. Amen. To who? Technically to everybody, but actually to the ones who are going to listen and pay attention. This is it. Wisdom's available, but not all going to walk in it, not all going to benefit from it. They've got to listen. So she speaks her words. Now, this is what she says. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? Do we want to love simplicity? Do we want to be simple? No, we want to be wise. Now, wisdom with God, God is not just foreordained some people to be wise and the rest to be simple, okay? It doesn't work like that. Every one of us has the potential to be wise and to walk in that wisdom, all right? But we've got it. How long will you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning. Fools hate knowledge. What did he say about a wise man? We've seen this. A wise man loves instruction, wants to be instructed. The fool, on the other hand, hates knowledge. Verse 23, turn at my rebuke. This is where I'm going to camp a little bit. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Now that phrase, turn at my rebuke. The word rebuke there has to do with correction. Correction and reproof. Amen? Now, some people think, oh, he's going to talk about being corrected. I'm going to turn off now. I don't want to hear about that. See, that's the wrong response. We're going to see scriptures which talk about a wise man loves correction, a fool despises correction. And actually, this is important to really get a hold of. And there's some things that I believe we need to say about this. This is what I said. I've made reference to it, but we need to expand this a bit more. and look at some things that the word says about correction, because this is right in the first chapter of Proverbs again. He said a wise man will listen, but one of the things that wisdom is interested in and open to is reproof, rebuke, and correction. Okay. Now, reproof, rebuke, and correction, I'm not just talking about it coming from other people. It can come from others, okay, but also from the Lord and from the Word. We'll talk a bit about this, okay? And a wise man appreciates that. Now, that word, it's translated turn at my rebuke. Now, turn means indicates a change is taking place. You're going one way and you need a turn. But actually, when you look at the original word, there's a little bit more to it than just turn. Okay, because you can be going the wrong way, you can make a turn, and you can still be going the wrong way. Not every turn is going to put you on the right path. Yeah, the word there doesn't just mean turn; it means return, come back at my rebuke. Come back where? to the place where you got off track.
Yeah.
Come back. See, you can spend your life making turns and still be just as off track. Try one thing, try another, or you can return and come back to the place that you need to be in order to be on track. Amen?
Yeah.
You can go look up the word yourself if you want to. I went and looked it up, and that's what it means. Return, to come back. Okay, you don't want to spend your life making turns and changes. How many of you know people do that? They try a little bit of this and it just doesn't seem right, or their life doesn't seem happy. So they, well, maybe I'll make this change. They make a change and they say, well, you see, they are turned. The Bible says turn. And they try a little bit, they dabble at something else, and they find they're just as unhappy. And then they make another turn and they double at something else and they find they're just as happy. You can go through life banging around from one thing to the other, flopping around in and out, flip-flop back and forth, making one change after another, thinking maybe this great change is going to do it, but until you make the change God wants you to make and He's leading you to make and telling you to make, you ain't going to get back on track.
Yeah.
There has to be a willingness to come back and return to the place that He wants you in.
Yeah.
Amen? Otherwise, all the other changes are going to be futile. Exactly, and you're never going to walk in the fullness of His blessing. So, correction, the reproof, is to actually get you to put back right what went wrong in the first place that got you off track. It's not just an adjustment to put you on another wrong path. And this is important to understand. Now, notice, let's look at some other things in this passage, and we're going to expand this a little bit. I'm not desperate to do a deep teaching here. We're just going to do a wandering through some scriptures. Is that all right? Okay, now Proverbs chapter 1, what we did, we read up to verse 23. Let's read verse 24. Because I have called and you refused. Now, refused there, refused what? Refused, we could say refused to pay attention to His call, what He's saying. Refused to listen, but also refused to go back, return. They're refusing to do what is needed to be done in order to get to the place. And what does it take to refuse something? I mean, to refuse God. Let's look at it in that. Sorry? Disobedience? Yeah? Refusal. Is it possible for a Christian to refuse something that God's saying? Yeah, they can. Not all Christians are the most yielded vessels. Any of you ever refused something God told you to do? We won't have testimonies. I certainly ain't giving mine. Because there's probably quite a few where I've refused, okay? Right? But I've called and you refused. You didn't make the change I was telling you to make. You might have made a change. It's not the one I told you to make.
Yeah.
And He's telling you to make. And some people will keep refusing to make the one He tells them to make while making all kinds of other changes, thinking it's going to be good for them. Okay? What's necessary? Return, come back, make the change He's telling you to make. That is what heeding correction's going to do. Sometimes you can tell something's wrong and correction is needed, you just won't make the specific correction He's telling you to make. You'll make another correction that your mind tells you needs to be made. Anyone ever done that? I've done that. Have to wise man has to, it comes back down to listen. Come back to the place where you're listening. What is he saying? Not what are, you can sense something's wrong. You can sense you're off track, but still not listen and still refuse to pay attention. And then you just go to one change to another and you don't get back on track. Amen? But notice this. It says, I called and you refused. You refused to come back. Let's jump down a little, but I won't read all the consequences there. But verse 30, they would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Is the idea of rebuke quite strong through this passage? This is the first chapter of Proverbs. Rebuke. Now, what you need to understand, let me just jump ahead a little bit ahead of myself. I'll give you some scriptures on this in a minute. You know that, does God rebuke and correct? But you need to understand this. The purpose, let me go to the scripture. Let's go to Hebrews 13, and then we'll go back to Proverbs. This was right at the end of my notes, but I'm going to say this right at the start. Okay, Hebrews 12, verse 5. Is God rebuking or correcting because he wants to prove how stupid you are and all the mistakes you made, and he wants to prove how much more he knows than you know and how much cleverer? Is that his purpose of rebuking? No. Does God reject and is he rebuking and correcting because he wants to put you in condemnation?
No.
See, if you view correction wrong, you get those are all the places you're going to come and think, you know, God's trying to put you down. Okay, let's read Hebrews 12 and let's see a couple of things here about correction that'll help you. Hebrews 12 verse 5, and it says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as slaves and servants and vermin before your God. Sorry, how does it speak to you? No, make note of this, because he's about to start talking about correction. Now, when he corrects, how is he talking to you? As a father to a son. This is not, he's not talking down to you. He speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. That word chastening has to do with strong correction. Strong correction, okay? Nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. Is he trying to discourage you when he rebukes you? You're not trying to do. God has no negative intent in his correction and rebuke. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm not trying to put you down. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm not trying to make you feel like, oh, no matter how much I try, just God make it. Now, you might feel like that. The enemy might sit on your shoulder and help you feel like that. But if you view correction wrong, you'll think it's got a negative intent behind it. And that's why you'll end up resisting it and despising it. But a wise man understands there's good intent behind correction. All right? Nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. Verse 6, for the Lord does what?
Love.
Whom the Lord loves, he chastens, he corrects. In other words, correction is an indication of his love for you. He loves you enough to correct you. Why? Well, there's all kinds of reasons. But if you're on a path that's going to result in problems and destruction, and he leaves you on that path uncorrected without at least trying to get your attention to get you off the path, how can you honestly say he loves you? He was trying to get you off a path that's to your harm and off a route and off a direction that's not good for you, right? But we said this last week, God will never force you. It's not how he works. He won't take you and throw you onto the path that you should be on.
No, 2 Timothy 3, where he states what his word is.
Yeah, we'll probably look at that one as well. That's right. His word is given for correction.
Yeah.
Okay, God will never force you, but how does he correct? Well, you just said it there, the word, his word, what he says, and by spirit, it brings correction. Okay, but notice this, for the Lord, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Now, verse 7, if you endure chastening, here it is again. God deals with you how? As with sons. Correction is a sign of sonship. Now, there's wonderful benefits to being sons. There's wonderful benefits to being loved by God. But this is as much a benefit. And it's for your good. It's totally for your good. Correction is not condemnation. Correction is not designed to undermine you, to harm you, to make your life miserable. Correction is designed to get you exactly to the right place. And he can see things you can't see, and he can see when you get off track. You know, someone says, I don't need correction, I'll just correct myself. How ignorant is that statement? I'll correct myself. That's assuming you know what needs correcting. How can you correct yourself if you can't see what needs correcting? Okay? It's like I've used this illustration before. You know, there's a table here. You know, when you're going forward in that direction, and let's just say for illustration purposes, all you can see is at eye level, and you're moving in that direction, and you can't see this here. And let's say you walk into this and you're just like, I just can't understand why I can't get far. And I'm trying to get to where God wants me to go. I just can't see why I'm not getting there. Because there's something out of your sight you can't see. Okay? Now, if you're just going to correct yourself, but that's out of your sight, you're never going to fix it. You can spend your whole life, I just don't understand why I can't go forward, why I can't get where I need to be. Oh, Lord, there must be some divine reason you're just not letting me go forward. And all the time, he might even send people to correct you. Maybe you over here, you can see at this level, and you just say, look, you know, there's just something just over there. Oh, who do you think you are? You don't know anything about my life. Okay? And the Lord says, oh, there's something you've got to sort out and move. Oh, Lord, no, Lord, that must be the devil. Devil, I'll rebuke you. God wouldn't say things like that to me. He loves me too much to point things out like that, to condemn me. The Lord loves me exactly how I am, and he would never want me to change because he loves me just how I am. No, you see, that's wrong thinking. He loves you enough to want you to change. Amen? If he's going to let you stay just the way you are, he really doesn't love you. Because he wants these obstacles. Now he's either going to lead you around you or he's going to show you how to get it out the way. Amen? He might use other people who can see those things. It might be the Holy Spirit. But you see, sometimes there's things that are stopping us getting where we need to get. And correction is necessary. It could be obstacles, or like I said before, you can be right off track. And you can just make all kinds of changes yourself out of your own head. Maybe I need to change this. Yeah, I've had people, this seems to happen a lot when I've been talking to people about healing. And especially if they're new to the word and they're learning the word. But hey, even people who know the word more seem to get into this. And let's say they're struggling to receive their healing. And they'll come one week and say, well, maybe, you know, I just think maybe this is the reason I'm struggling to receive healing. And you know, maybe there's some unknown sin in my life. And maybe I don't know about it. Maybe there's something I need to find. And then they'll spend a few weeks on that. And then they'll come back and they're like, oh, well, you know, maybe I need deliverance. This is a common thing. Almost every person who's struggling to receive goes down this path at some point. They'll start looking for reasons what it is. Now, this is the thing you need to understand. this is why I said earlier about you can make changes, but it not be the change he's telling you to make. Okay? The enemy will get you running around on a sin search, telling you, try this, make this change. What about this one? But it's not the one he's telling you to make. Okay? If this is what's hindering me moving this table ain't going to help me. And you say, oh, it's that table over there. That's the one that's in the way. And you go, oh, and so you now spend 3 weeks moving this table out the way. And then you go, oh, now, Lord, why can't I move? And then the enemy, oh, no, it's actually that table over there. The enemy will have you chasing your tail, running all over the place, trying to change things, make changes. But you've got to get before God to find out what he's saying. Amen? Otherwise, you end up wasting a lot of time. Amen? Let's go to Proverbs 17:10. Proverbs 17:10. So you've got to understand why, the purpose, the intent of correction. It's the love of God. He loves you enough to want to get you on the right track. It's never there to condemn or hurt or undermine or pull you down. But you see, we as human beings don't tend to like being corrected. Just in the natural, do we like being corrected? Honestly, outside of the word, outside of knowing things about the word, most people don't like being corrected. They don't like the feeling that I don't know something or that someone else knows better than me. Now, please understand me this. Please understand me on this, okay? Not everybody who corrects you is correct in their correction. They might be wrong in what they're saying. That's why you've got to ultimately take it before the Lord. We've talked about this previously, okay? Just because somebody thinks they need to correct you and they come and correct you doesn't mean they are right. First of all, maybe they weren't even supposed to come and give it to you anyway, and God didn't ever told them to. They did it out of their own heads. Second of all, they might be completely wrong in what they're saying because their perspective might be wrong. Okay? And I'm not saying they are. God can and does use people, and maybe they are right. But you take it before the Lord and you listen to Him when correction comes and you say, weigh it before the Lord. Amen? But that particular issue aside, when true correction and is correct and is right comes to us, we as human beings, we don't like that sense that somebody else knows better than I know. And what tends to rise up with when correction comes is pride and stubbornness. Pride and stubbornness. I know better. I know what I'm doing. You can't tell me. Okay? Now let's look at a couple of scriptures on this, because this will help you. You've got to realize, to receive proper, godly, accurate, true correction, whether God brings it through other people or through the word, there has to be a response of humility. Humility has to be the response. Amen? Humility is teachableness. Proverbs 17:10. Let's look at a couple of things. 17:10 says, rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. What's 100 blows? Okay? Now, what it says there is rebuke, very often rebuke or correction is verbal. And since you're a wise man, you rebuke him, it's effective. He gets it.
Yeah.
But here you've got a fool who's getting hit by life. I'm going to stop punching my arm there. Yeah, it's getting, I was going to punch here, but then I would have punched my iPad. Now I'm punching my wrist and it's actually getting... That took about 3 or 4 blows, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to do that again. We don't need 100 for me to realize that's hurting now. Okay? But, you know, how many of you know that the idea there is that fool is so stubborn that no matter what he runs into and problems in his life, he just ain't learning. You know, realizing. And he stays on a course that keeps putting him back in a position where he ends up in a mess. That's stubbornness.
Yes.
So he's showing you that's a trait of stubbornness in that fool. He won't listen to the correction, so he ends up life. I'm not saying, it doesn't say God is giving him these hits, okay? But life, his circumstances, the course that he's on, punches him in the face, and he goes, ooh, that was pain. Oh, that was a difficult situation. And he keeps on the same course. And he gets punched again. And he just won't change. He won't learn. So this is stubbornness here. The wise person listens, makes the change, not just any change, makes the correct change that needs to make, returns, listens, comes back to where God wants him to be. You know, even a wise person can get off track. Because at some point, maybe they just didn't listen one morning. Okay?
Yeah.
But they begin to realize to get back on track. Staying on path is wisdom. Getting back on the correct path is wisdom. But a fool won't do that. Okay? So this is saying that no matter how hard it gets for a fool, he won't make the change. Amen? We don't want to be like that. So he's either will not change, or he's incredibly slow to change. And that takes stubbornness, and it also takes hard-heartedness. How many of you realize this? You know, sometimes it says, well, why did God do what he did to Pharaoh? Do you know that God, Pharaoh had a lot of warnings? Let my people go. He wouldn't listen. 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 It got harder, got worse, got worse, got worse, got worse, and ultimately led to his death at the Red Sea with his entire army. He just wouldn't listen. How much easier would it have been when Moses walked in the very and he threw a serpent down, his rod down, it turned into a serpent, and said, "Let my people go," if he had listened? Do you think he would have been a bit better for him? Would have been a bit better for the whole nation. Did he get multiple opportunities to listen? But at each level, he hardened, he refused. He refused, he refused. Amen? Let's not be like that. Okay? So stubbornness and hard-headedness, slow to change. You know, I heard one minister say this, and this is good. So, you know, God will have to send me, three signs, three bright shining stars in the sky, and send me 10 signs and send me 15 people telling me what to do before I'm going to do it. And you're proud of that? How many times does God have to tell? I mean, you know, Lord, you got to really, man, God's got to really shake me to get me to move. That's not a good attitude. Don't be proud of that. Well, the pride itself is a problem. Okay? that's showing stubbornness. Yeah. But actually what we should be is we want to be people who make quick adjustments when needed. Yeah. Once we know it's right, we know it's God, we know it's what he's saying, we make adjustments. Let's look at Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. Now don't all look at me, you know, like you've never done anything wrong. How many of you have always been quick to change when God said?
Do we listen?
No, we don't. But do we want? Are we gonna listen better and change better?
Yeah.
Amen. Proverbs 29 verse 1. He who is often rebuked. Let me just stop there. Does your translation say something along those lines? He who is often rebuked.
Yeah.
Often rebuked. Your translation say that. Often rebuked. Yeah. Right there, you see a problem. Without going any further in the verse, what's the problem? Often rebuked.
Yeah.
Often.
He's not listening.
And listening. How many rebukes should we really need?
One.
Or if we're just missing it, two, three, four. But often? There's a problem going on here.
Yeah.
He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck. Stiff-necked is a word the Bible uses. Now, that's not saying just hardening your physical neck. That's indicating a stubbornness. You're not making the adjustment. You're just stubbornly pushing forward on your path. He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. That's a very difficult verse in the Bible. Without remedy means no fix.
I feel sorry
for him. Yeah.
Never recover.
Okay. Now, it does not say God will destroy him. Don't put words in there. It says will suddenly be destroyed. Why will he suddenly be destroyed? Because he's refusing to change course. The rebuke is trying to get him to change course.
He's destroying himself.
Destroying himself, yes. He did it to him. He wouldn't listen. This person won't listen. Don't blame God. The rebukes are coming because God loves him. God's trying to stop that destruction happening. Being on the wrong course doesn't necessarily mean the destruction will arrive in 3 days. Now, it might. Sometimes it can take years. Amen? And often rebuked, he keeps speaking, make the change, make the change, make the change. Now, I've talked about this in previous weeks. Sometimes you can harden so much against that, that God speaking to you can get softer and softer. And it's not because he's speaking softer, it's because you're hardening to it. And people say, oh, God's not even talking to me about that anymore. Yeah, he used to talk to me about this change, but obviously God's just decided not to talk to me, and it's okay that I'm on that path anymore. Hey, that's not a good place to be. If you know he told you to make that change and you've become so hardened to it, make a change. Yeah. That you're not hearing it. Okay? So God is calling this person, come back, return. Because he loves them and doesn't want that consequence for them. But they won't listen. They harden against it. They harden against it. And the warning is there. This scripture has been in the Bible before any person, certainly in our world today, this happens to. So not one of them can say the Bible didn't warn them. The warning is in there, isn't it? Why is it in there? Because love wrote this book. And he's showing. So what we want to do is we want to learn now. He's showing us just how serious things can get when correction is refused. Now, how does a fool respond to correction? Despises, ignores it, hardens to it. How does a wise man respond to correction? Listens, loves it, wants it, makes the change by returning and coming back. Amen? That's what we want to be. That's the place we want to be. You know, in order to stay on course, we talked about this last week about the path. In order to stay on course, you often need constant adjustments. Remember I gave the illustration, you're driving your car and your car, if you take your hand off the steering wheel, you can end up, you know, in a ditch. Some corrections are minor. But sometimes corrections are major, depending on how big an adjustment is needed to be made. And a wise person will realize that. A wise person is listening to the corrections. Now, actually, a couple more in Proverbs, and then we'll go to the one Husin mentioned a minute ago. Proverbs 13 and verse 18. Proverbs 13 and verse 18. It's good to see these. What does Proverbs tell us about correction? Well, this is one of the things Proverbs says about correction. Proverbs 13 and verse 18.
Is that a fool?
Sorry?
A fool who doesn't listen.
No. Poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction. But he who regards a rebuke will be honored. So what comes to a person who won't listen to correction?
Poverty
and shame. You know, you can be believing God all you want to bless you, but if you're resisting correction, you're hindering your own blessing. Amen? I'm not saying that that's not thus saith the Lord to someone. I'm just rephrasing what he said in the scripture there. Okay? What if a person is trusting God to bless their finances and they might be doing some things, but all the time God's trying to correct them on something and they ain't listening? It's going to hinder. Poverty and shame. Amen? So we need to heed these warnings. Pay attention to what he's saying. That was Proverbs 13. Just go to Proverbs 15 quickly, and then we go to one scripture in the New Testament. Proverbs, I'm not going to read all of the verses I've got here, but Proverbs 15 and verse 10. Harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction, what does it say?
Will die.
Is that a strong warning?
Yeah.
Will die. Does it say God will kill you? Don't put words in there. The correction is coming from the Lord. Why? Because he doesn't want you on the path where you're going to die. But are there some very strong warnings connected to not heeding correction? What did we read? Poverty and shame. What did we read here? He who hates correction will die. What did we read? Proverbs 29, verse 1. Will suddenly be destroyed with no remedy. Are those some of the harshest, not harshest, strongest is the word I want, strongest warnings in Scripture? And it's connected to this issue. So do you think the enemy would love us to be a people who don't want correction? These are some of the strongest warnings in the Bible. Would you agree with me? And there might be other things that warn just as strong, but not much warn stronger than that. I don't know many things in Scripture where it says destruction without remedy, without cure, without fix. That is pretty incredible. I'm going to give you this reference for yourself because I'm not going to cover this one. Proverbs 9 verse 7 to 9 talks about if you correct a scoffer or a fool, you get shame. Rebuke a wise man and he'll love you. Most people know that scripture. Why will a wise man love you? Because of rebuke and correction. Because he appreciates the fact, first of all, that he needs it. He doesn't know everything.
Yeah.
And second of all, realizes you're trying to help him when you correct. God's trying to help him when you correct. Amen? Now let's go to, we'll close on this one. Let's go to Timothy, which is what Hussein mentioned a moment ago. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and then going into chapter 4. 2 Timothy. Hallelujah, Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 15, says, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. He's talking to Timothy here. He says, from a child you've known the Word, we would say. Yeah, the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. Will the Word make you wise?
Yeah.
Which part of the Word? He's talking about the Word. Now notice what he says in the next word, in the next verse, the next sentence about this very Scriptures, which will make you wise. Verse 16, all Scripture, how much? Your favorite parts?
No,
the bits you want to listen to?
No,
all Scriptures given by, just make note of this because it's relevant in what he says in a few verses' time. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is teaching.
Yeah.
What else does the Word do? For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, all I want is doctrine and teaching. Don't correct me. You correct me in that church, I'm leaving. I just want teaching. Teach me the good stuff. Is that being open to the Word? Make note, because he's going to tell you in a few verses people who are like that. He's just said, the Scriptures will make you wise, Timothy, but let me tell you about those Scriptures. You've got to be willing to be open to hear, to receive all aspects of what the Scriptures are bringing you in order for it to make you wise for salvation, including the reproof and the correction. Will the Word correct you? Well, now, this doesn't end in chapter and verse, okay? Chapter and verse, we all know this. The Bible wasn't written in chapter and verse. So just because it gets to verse 17 doesn't mean he's finished his thought. This goes on to chapter 4 with following on the exact same thought. Don't read it as if it's a new idea from chapter 4. Yeah, read it as if this is following straight on from what he's just said. Chapter 4, I charge you therefore. He's against charging Timothy, but really all of us. Before God, therefore means because of what I've just said. That all Scripture, yes, will instruct you, but also correct you. Because of that, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the Word. Which bits? Your favorite bits? Preach which Word? The Word which two verses earlier, he's just told you, not just brings teaching, but brings reproof and correction. So if you're not preaching that bit, are you fully preaching the Word? I mean, we're a Word people. I want to be a Word person, don't you?
We never
When he says preach the word, like I said, this is only two verses after he's just talked about what the word will do. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke. There it is. I felt very rebuked in that church. That's why I left. How many people do that? Exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Now, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. What does this sound like? People who only want to hear what they want to hear from the word. It does this follow on from all scripture will bring doctrine, but it'll also bring reproof and correction. Now he tells you people who are cherry picking, they don't want to hear which bits, usually the challenging bits, the corrective bits, the bits that reprove them. The time will come when people will just want to hear the things that make them run around the building and get excited. Give me the good messages. Oh, that preacher, you know, he preached something that really was challenging. I didn't like that. I'm just not going to listen to him anymore. Yeah? Are there people who just want to hear the good bits?
Yeah,
the bits that make you all excited?
I don't want to listen to rubbish.
Don't want to listen to rubbish. But actually, true word will do all of these different things inside of you. There are times the word will correct you. And actually, if you really want to enjoy the good bits, you'll receive the correction. Because what did we read in Proverbs? Poverty and shame will come to the person who doesn't want to receive the correction. You can believe for blessing and prosperity all you want. If you're resisting the correction, are you going to get to walk in the fullness of that blessing? No, you're not. Amen? It says, for they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. Turn aside? Getting off track. This is what we keep seeing. Changing your direction, changing your path, turning aside to something that they're closing their ears. They won't listen to what God is actually saying, the truth. It's taking them off path. Amen? We don't want to be that people. So did you learn something today about the value of correction? Or if it's stuff you already knew, did it stir your heart a little bit more about the value of correction? Yeah.
And that's why the world's going haywire.
Now, the thing is, you know, this doesn't mean you're always condemning and banging people over the head, because this is what I said. The intent of correction isn't you can correct and with love and gentleness. Amen?
Yeah.
And there's some people who think they have a ministry of correction, and actually they don't. They just have a ministry of condemnation, which ain't coming from the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So you would say, yes, that's my job. I'm bringing the correction. Hey, be careful about that mentality. Okay? but let's be open to it when it does come. And let's make sure when that correction comes. And sometimes the correction of the Holy Spirit can be very loving and gentle, even on the inside of you. Even when it's not coming through another person. Okay? Sometimes it's very loving and gentle on the inside. And it's simply, it'll be prompt. Just, you need to do this. You need to make a change.
Yeah, when God rebukes you, it's always gentle and
nice. Yeah. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we just worship you. Lord, we want to receive all that your word wants to bring into our lives. Even if it's correction, Lord, even if it's rebuke, even if it's you saying, look, you're getting it wrong here. You're getting it wrong here. And we realize that's not for our harm. You're not doing that to condemn us. You're not saying that because you hate us. You're saying that because you love us and you really want us to be on the right path and on the right track and in the right place. And it might mean coming back and it might mean returning. And we'll do that if necessary, Lord. So Father God, we open our hearts to you right now and to whatever it is, Lord, that God, that you